All right, our reading will be taken from Isaiah chapter 53, starting at verse number 4. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed." Amen. Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, don't grab him. Turn to your neighbor, just look at your neighbor. All the flu stuff going on. I don't want nobody to say, "I caught the flu because Pastor said I had to grab somebody by the hand." Can't put it on me. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Make eye contact so they know that's you that they make an eye contact with. And say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, Jesus came to make us whole." Neighbor, Jesus came to make us whole. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Jesus came to make us whole." Don't panic. I know we had a lot going on here in service this morning, and so we're getting off a little late, and it's okay. We ain't going to keep you that long because we want you to come back at 3:30 this afternoon. Amen? Again, Jesus came to make us whole. You know, let me give it to you like this. Would you ever go to a car dealership and see a brand new car in the showroom that you wanted? You was ready to buy it, but when they brought the car to you, it had less than 4 tires. None of us would consider buying a car that has less than 4 tires. Because we understand that in order for a car to be made whole, in order to run, Reverend Dabney, the car requires 4 tires. So, since it's a requirement for a car to run, Mike, with 4 tires, in order to be made whole, how come so many folk in our society today are trying to move forward, but they are not whole? Now, before we beat them up, that used to be us. We tried to do it all. We tried to fix it. We tried to make things work, but we were unsuccessful because we were incomplete because we didn't have 4 tires. And since we came up short, everything that we did, Reverend Rhodes, came up what? Short. And when we look at our lives and we can see how we have been transformed because of the fact that we have been made what? Whole. And since we have been made whole, we recognize we now have the 4 tires that we need in order to move forward with. Now, y'all know I'm speaking about this metaphorically because the issue here is that when we don't have Jesus in our lives, we have some very important pieces in us that are not functioning because we are not whole. You see, and when you look here at Isaiah 53, this is a prophecy talking about what Jesus was coming to do, was to make us whole. And when you look here at Isaiah in chapter 53, when you get a chance, please just read the whole chapter. I just pulled out a segment because, I mean, the whole focal point of verses 1 through 9 is dealing with the concept of who Jesus is. And reading the whole chapter ain't going to hurt, because we also see in here how it is said that we all have been like sheep and we have gone astray. And where would we be if we did not have a good shepherd who came to see about us, who came to get us while we were out there lost? But stick a pin in that, because we're going to come back to that part. But the question is still, why did Jesus have to come? Sister Rosa, I'm glad you asked. You know why he had to come? Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve eating the fruit. Because when they got to the garden, everything was already there. And then when God created them, he said, let us create them in our own image. We are the only creation of God that is created in the image of God. And God, after he created us, he said that we are very good. So since we are very good, they had everything at their disposal, Deacon Alex. All they had not to do was touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So rather than focusing on everything they had to keep them whole, they focused on the one thing that would break them and allow them to no longer have four tires, but have less than four. So once that took place, God took them out the garden and put them out there, and the man had to work the ground in order to eat. The woman would go through birthing pains to have kids. All the things that sisters y'all had to go through. Look at Eve, said, where was Adam at when she really needed him? And brothers who are out there working them fields, the way they had to work them fields back in the day, thank God, a lot of us don't do that, but still we work hard, whatever it is today. We understand that we can look at Adam and say, why didn't you stop Eve? Because you were a part of that too. So one of the things that we have to understand, we are going through what we're going through because of the mistakes that were made before us. Amen. So Jesus had to come to put things back in order. Initially, the commandments were given, the Ten Commandments. The people, Israelites, were chosen, become the chosen people of God to be the ones that live by the law, to move by the law, and to allow the people of the world to understand that there is only one God. But rather than sharing that news and good news with others, they kept it to themselves and looked at others and said, we're all right, but I don't know about you. But then even amongst themselves, we see how some Jews were able to maintain and others were not able to maintain. So they was even creating division amongst themselves. But thank God that we as the people of God don't look at one another and create divisions amongst ourselves. We recognize that it's all level ground by the cross, that we're all in this together, and that we move better together than we do apart. Thank God that God has gotten us to understand that, and that's how we function. But what we have to see here is, as we look at this and in being in the Lenten season, we are now looking at the sacrifice of what Jesus did. But why did Jesus make that sacrifice to us, for us? Let's go see. Because we're seeing here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 4. The one thing I want us to see, he says, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He did that for us. But check this out. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. Which means that all the infirmities and the diseases that he had, it was all because of something that he had did. It wasn't for nobody else, but he was going through that because of what he had done. Some folk will look at this and they got it twisted. Because when they saw Jesus suffering, when they saw all that he went through, they thought he must have did something wrong. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Even now, as us being children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we've been anointed and appointed. But every now and then, don't the road get a little rough sometimes? Don't we go through some storms sometimes? Some folk look at us and say, why are you still shouting that God is good and he's good all the time? Why are you still walking by faith and not by sight? Why are you still allowing him to be the head of your life? Don't you see all that you're going through? And you know what we say to them? I praise God anyhow. Because I know that if the Lord brought me to it, the
God is going to bring me through it. And I know that my God has been mighty good to me. And I'm not going to let this one storm cause me to turn back now. Since the Lord has brought me this far, all he's doing is moving me forward. So no matter what goes on, I'm still going to raise my hand. I'm still going to shout hallelujah, because I serve a mighty good God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got any folk that deal with situations and circumstances and still going to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise? Somebody ought to say thank you. But let's go on. Let's understand that we all were looking at him and saw what he went through. You see, only the hardened criminals and those who commit crimes against the state of this time were crucified. So they took Jesus and they beat him. They took some thorns and made a crown and pressed it upon his head. And they looked, and those truly who were Gentiles who had no understanding say, this dude must have been a bad dude in order to be crucified. They were right. He was a bad dude, but not in the sense of bad. You know how we use that word bad? He wasn't bad. He was bad. Meaning that he's good. But others saw him as being bad. Because nobody goes through all this for somebody else. That's why even the Jewish community still struggled when embracing Jesus as the Messiah. How could our Messiah be crucified on a cross if he is a good person, God-fearing, led by God? He would not be going through that. But then we look at verse number 5. You know what I love about verse number 5? It starts with a conjunction. And y'all know that when I talk about that conjunction "and," that means that you're connecting two statements together, right? But the one thing I like about that conjunction "but" is that you're about to turn the corner, which means you ain't going to continue to go in the direction that you're going, but you're about to go in a new direction. And they say that you really shouldn't start a sentence with a conjunction. That is not the proper way to do things. But sometimes in order to bring emphasis to a statement, you got to start it off with a conjunction. Because what you're saying is that the sentence that you just read before this, I'm letting you know that we are about to change the direction and go in a new direction. So, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment. What did it do? Made us whole. Can I stop there for a second? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how anointed and appointed you are right now. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't start off that way. Are you following what I'm saying? All of us were caught up in sin. All of us was caught up doing our own thing. And as we were doing our own thing, the one thing that we were guaranteed is that we was going to always come up short. Why? Because we weren't functioning with four tires. We were functioning with less than four tires. And if you're functioning with less than four tires, there's no way that that car really can move forward. You see, Jesus recognized that he had to come because we were trying to move forward and function, but we weren't unable to function properly because we didn't have everything that we need, because we were always coming up short. And I thank God that when the Father looked at the Son, he said, Son, I need you to go down there. But you know what? Before I go with that, you know how there's a situation where you always look at some kids. Thank God they ain't here in our church. There's some bad kids out there that every time you say something to you, they suck their teeth at you. And if they're old enough and you say something to them, they'll turn around and cuss you out. And then there are others, one that'll be totally disrespectful to you. You see, and what, when you look at it from that perspective, that's the kind of world that Jesus was stepping into. He was stepping into a world of a people, Mike, that was full of disobedience, that wanted to do their own thing. And every time they were doing their own thing, they was always coming up. And don't you know that they could never fix it, no matter how much they tried, no matter what they did, it would never come out right. Why? Because they weren't using and didn't have four tires. The car had less than four tires, which means that at least one of the tires was riding on a rim. And as long as it's riding on a rim, it ain't really going nowhere. So as we're seeing this, what did Jesus do? He came. He took our transgressions. He took our iniquities. He took it all for you and I. He was crushed because of us. Punished because of us. You see, because on our own, y'all, we was lost in sorrows. And the thing is, isn't that why we came to Jesus? Because every time we tried doing something, we kept coming up. And since we kept coming up short, we realized we was driving a car that had less than four tires. And since we were driving a car that had less than four tires, Deacon Booth, we realized at some point we had to pull over. And once we pulled over, we didn't call on a car service. We ain't called on AAA. We called on Jesus. Because we realized that, Jesus, I'm tired of coming up short. I'm tired of always falling flat on my face. I'm tired of always struggling. I'm tired of waking up being sick and tired. Lord, I need your help. And didn't the Lord come and see about us? Didn't the Lord bless us? Didn't the Lord make a way for us? Didn't the Lord heal us? Didn't the Lord make us whole? Isn't that why we're in church right now? Because the Lord has made a difference in our lives. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand it was nobody but Jesus who made a way out of no way? Nobody but Jesus who stood in for us, and brought us through the whatevers in our lives. Jesus came to make us whole. And as he made us whole, you know the beauty about being made whole is that now that you're whole, every now and then you might get sick. Every now and then you're going to deal with some trials and tribulations. And the one thing about him making us whole, after that word whole, there's a conjunction. And this ain't a but. It's an and. Which means that he said he's going to make you whole. And through his stripes, I can't help but quote King James. Through his stripes, we are healed. So one of the things that we have to understand, my brothers and my sisters, is that the Lord didn't just come to make us whole. The Lord came to what? Heal us. So whatever is trying to knock you down, whatever is trying to keep you down, you've got to say, Lord, you said in your word. And Lord, you have made me whole. And Lord, and through your bruises, I have been made. I have been, I'm sorry, healed. God, I went back and quoted, I'm trying to quote the other one, but I'm trying to tell you, I got King James in my head. You see, that it is through his stripes, my brothers and my sisters, we are healed. And so that we are healed, we know that we can be healed, because before I can be healed, I must first be made what? Whole. So since, is there anybody in here who, since you've been whole, have you been sick? Anybody in here ever been through something since you've been whole? And hasn't the Lord brought you through? Hasn't the Lord blessed you? Hasn't the Lord healed you? Hasn't he been there for you? Hasn't he made a way for you? When you know how good our God is, no matter what anybody say, you say, I got a reason to praise God, because I know what it's like to be sick, and I know what it's like to be healed, and it's through his stripes I have been healed. And now that I am healed, it's only because that first I was made.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and sisters? What I want you to understand is that, yes, life sometimes is going to get rough. We know what it's like to be rough without Jesus. We know what it's like for life to be rough with Jesus. The difference between the two is that I'm driving a car with four tires and I'm going to make it. I might get a flat every now and then. And that's when I pull over again and I say, Lord. And doesn't he come and he go on and fix that tire and put you back on your way again? And no matter, because a flat tire is like I've gotten sick. And I need the Lord through his stripes to heal me. And I know that I can be healed because I've already been made what? You see, Sister Marilyn, I don't care what they might say about us. We know that we've come this far by faith. We have trusted in the Lord. He has been there with us through thick and through thin. He has brought us a mighty long way. And since the Lord has blessed us, we know we're being blessed because we are what? Whole. And since I am whole, I might get a flat tire every now and then. I might get some wheels out of alignment. But I know that I've got a great mechanic to where I can take my car to. And when he fixes me up, can't nobody fix you like Jesus. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know that Jesus is the master mechanic? He is the one that can do for us that nobody else can do. I tell you, isn't that why we come to church? Isn't that why we praise his holy name? Because God has been mighty good to us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know that he is a master mechanic? We want folk to come on, pull up to the master mechanic. Let him work on you. Let him fix you. Let him make you whole. And once he makes you whole, whatever goes wrong with the car, can't nobody fix it like Archie. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's time for the people of God to move and operate in the power that God has given us. The authority that God has given us. And the only way we're going to do that is we got to understand who we are. You got to understand this one thing. You got value. Because if you didn't have value, Jesus never would have come. You see, anything, think about this. You see, when you use that paper plate and you use it up, what do you do with it? Why do you throw it away? Because it ain't no good. You done used it up. But I want you to understand something. We ain't no paper plates. We are God's children. We are created in his image. And since God said we are very good, then that means that he says that we have what? Value. And since I have value, the Lord sent Jesus in order to make me. And now that I am whole, when I go through my trials and tribulations, when I might get sick, all I do is call on the name of the Lord, because through his stripes I am what? You see, when you are a child of God and you know that you are whole, you might get sick, but you know that the Lord is going to what? Heal you, because you know how good he is, what he's brought you through. He's been there with you through thick and through thin. I tell you, our God is awesome. Our God is good. He is our all in all. He's been there with us through thick and through thin. So that's how come when we come to church, I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me it's time to praise God. It's time to thank God. I already knew that before I walked through the doors, because when I came in to see this master mechanic, I knew that whatever I needed, the Lord would give it to me. If I needed a tune up, he'll give me that. If I need an oil change, he'll give me that. If I need my wheels realigned, he'll do that. If a tire get flat, he'll fill it back up. You see, I tell you, whatever I need, when I come into my daddy's house, I know that Jesus is going to fix it for me. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? I thank God for who he is. I thank God for what he does. I thank God that even when I get caught out there on the road, all I got to do is just pull on over and call on the name of Jesus. He's got a 24-hour service. He's going to come to see about me. He's going to get me right, keep me right, so that I can't go right. I tell you, somebody ought to say thank you. Jesus came to make us whole. So, my brothers and sisters, as you move forward in this journey of life, move forward with the understanding I'm whole. I'm one of God's children. I'm whole because I trust in his son, my big brother, who came and paid the price for me. So I am whole. So whenever anything happens to me, since I am whole, I know I'm going to be healed because of his stripes, because of what he went through. It wasn't just enough for me to be whole. Because I know even in my wholeness, every now and then something going to happen. So I'm going to need a healing every now and then. And he did just that. So when you leave here today, I want you to leave with your head up high. Realizing that the Lord is the one who made me whole. And the Lord is the one who is my master mechanic. So that whatever goes wrong with this car, that he put four tires on and make sure it runs, he can fix it. Because he created it. Now, don't just leave here thinking Jesus is a mechanic. You know, I'm using that metaphorically. Y'all understand that. I'm just messing with you. Some of y'all were just looking at me rather serious. Is he really calling Jesus? I'm just messing with you. But what I am saying, he loves you. He cares about you. And he doesn't want you to be incomplete. Let us all rise.